Allison.
Jake.
How's it going?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing well. Still trying to decide which question. Okay. What's something you believe even though it's probably not true?
Oh my god. I didn't have an answer for that. Oh, okay. This is something that I tell people all the time. I actually think that it's true, but everybody else says that I'm wrong. And I feel like I've told you guys this already. But that if you're confronted with a black bear, you should fight it. If it's a brown bear, that means it's a grizzly bear and you should play dead. But everybody says you don't fight a black bear, it'll just kill you anyway. Whenever I say this, people get really upset. They're like, you couldn't fight a bear. But I'm like, I think that you can kind of fight a bear. The same way that you can, like, punch a shark in the nose. If it's going to bite you,
yeah. That's
what you're supposed to do.
I've been watching Alone, and they do approach the black bears.
Okay.
But I don't know if I personally am going to be approaching any black bears.
Well, I'm not. It's not if you're approaching one. It's if you happen to cross
paths. It's already
paths.
There.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You attack.
I don't know if you attack, but you don't run, because if you run, it'll chase you, and then it'll get you.
Ooh, yeah. The running does seem like a bad choice.
I agree. Yeah, don't do it.
What would you like art, thought, or writing to do to you? And yeah, with emphasis on...
You, not one.
You, and want, yeah.
Yeah, what do I want it to do to me? I mean, I feel like I might end up echoing Ryan here. I do want to be surprised. I don't know. I want it to get me thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want it to allow me to think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like open up a space that I didn't know was there.
Mm-hmm.
Make me curious. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, also sometimes I want it to make me feel good, and sometimes I want it to make me feel sad.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to answer the question, what don't you want it to do to you?
I really resent art that I feel like is manipulative. And I don't really know what, like, the line between, you know, cultivating, like, a space for thought and then, you know, that, I don't know what the line is between those things, but, like, yeah, anything where you're, like, okay, what's that movie, the Casey Affleck movie?
Manchester by the Sea.
Like, I fucking love and hate that movie because it's so heartbreaking and crushing. And it, like, you can't watch that movie and, like, not do exactly what it wants to do. You know what I mean? So, like,
mm-hmm.
I liked it, but it didn't do what I wanted it to do. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. How do you access meaning or meaningfulness in your daily life?
Okay, so I'm in therapy, specifically in analysis, and I think about this a lot, and I think that I don't know, like having, when I feel like I have room to reflect on things, like that's when things can become meaningful and interesting and like worth thinking about. And also I feel like inevitably when you can be in like a more reflective space, like you don't really land on something that feels definitive. It just is like you can notice some things, maybe put some names on some things, and yeah, kind of go from there. So I don't think it's like it's like a having that experience, I feel like, is so much about how I'm feeling. Because it's very easy to, like, go through a whole day or a whole week or a whole month and just be really reactive and feel like I know everything that's going on in everywhere. And I feel like that's not meaning. I feel like that's paranoia and defensiveness and fear. So yeah, having like the curiosity to be, having the capacity to be curious and to be able to think and let things be unknown is really important to me. Although I don't know that like that's like an everyday experience either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a point really well taken that many of us may not be experiencing, meaning in daily units. An entire month of lockdown.
Right.
That seemed pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
Well, moving from complete absence of meaning to excitement, you know, are there any thinkers that excite you and that you're enjoying thinking of?
Well, it's really hard because I'm trying to write a chapter right now, as you guys know, on Mary Wollstonecraft, who is just like an extremely frustrating person to read because she's extremely incoherent. But at the same time, I think that, like, reading white women sort of trying to, like, define femininity without being conscientious of their whiteness is really provocative, or can be really provocative if, like, you're really attentive to that. So I guess her in a certain way. But also, the answer I thought of when you guys were talking to Ryan was this guy who I've listened to a couple of his talks now. His name is Samir Amin, and he was this Egyptian-French guy, Marxist thinker, and he is sort of like giving like an economic history of, you know, the globe, but like, you know, Europe and the U.S. and the Middle East over the last 100 years or so. And the best thing that he does is whenever he's talking about sort of like bourgeois economists explaining history, he just says blah, blah. He just says, you know, they say blah, blah about the market, like whatever bullshit. And I just like, I am so energized by that dismissal, by that, like, you just don't have to, you do not have to think about the bullshit that they tell themselves. You don't actually have to contend with that. It feels like such a release, you know?
Yeah,
so him, I don't know, we watched this talk the other day with Hortense Spillers, and she was really intriguing because everybody really wanted her to define herself. They wanted her to sort of weigh in on whether or not she thinks of herself as an Afro-pessimist or not, and like all this other bullshit, right? And she like refused to answer any of those questions directly. And she also was insistent that she's like a much more capacious thinker and writer than she ever gets credit for. And I mean, perpetually, I love people who don't answer the question that they're asked because they think that it's a stupid question. So her, yeah, I mean, it's the best. I don't know. What else have I been thinking about?
Caguano.
Oh, yeah.
Stop thinking with that guy.
That's true. Okay, so this guy, I also wrote a chapter on him, and I just rewrote some of that recently, who was this 18th century abolitionist who has been very underappreciated for his vision of abolition that does not include a European empire, does not include the nation state, that accounts for, you know, atrocities against indigenous people in the Americas as well as slavery. And the thing that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could talk about him for a long time, but it's really interesting because he uses, you know, like I'm very anti-mystical and don't believe in God and like, you know, all of that shit. But like, he does sort of have this, like, he requires like this external referent which for him is divine law, but it's like a very critical kind of law. I don't know. It's really, it's very intriguing. So also that guy.
That sounds amazing.
He is amazing. Yeah. He is amazing. The reason why we don't read him is because he doesn't write narrative. So he doesn't like appeal to, I mean, that's the other thing that I'm always constantly thinking about sentimentality. Always I'm thinking about sentimentality, and he refuses to appeal to, you know, demands on sympathetic identification and pity and like all that stuff. I fucking love that. I think that it's, I think it's so amazing when you can approach a question from not like, do I relate? Do I identify? Do I understand? And instead you just actually respond to the information that's in front of you and what you're being told by whoever's experiencing it. And like, that's it.
Yeah.
I think that there's like, so, there, yeah, there's such like a, an arrogance in demanding to understand, to feel, to recognize all of that stuff. So that's, I'm always thinking about that.
Is this in a, can you tell us a little bit more about that? Is this a British or an American?
Oh yeah, he's, so he was kidnapped from what is now Ghana when he was 13, and then he went to the Lesser Antilles and then was brought to England where he was emancipated and then sort of got in with people and clearly was doing a lot of reading, a lot of thinking. And then in 1787, he wrote his, it's called Treatise on the Evil and Wicked Traffic of Slavery.
1787?
Yeah.
Right at the
beginning. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, we should be reading a lot more of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. So, as, yeah, we're thinking alongside all of you, why do you write?
Oh, my God. I think I write to learn. I write to learn, like, what I'm dealing with, you know, whatever the material that I'm working with is, whether that's, like, myself or somebody else. And I think and I write to, like, learn what I think and, like, what's possible to think and what's possible to say about, yeah, whatever it is I'm trying to think about. I don't know. And I guess also to, like, talk to somebody else, to be in conversation. I've never been a person who like writes every, well, that's not true. I wrote in a journal every day as a child, like up until I was pretty regularly anyway. Yeah. Up until I was in my teens and maybe even my twenties, because Mormons are really, really into journal keeping. Yeah. For posterity, you know? Genealogy, it's very important.
Do you still have those journals?
I threw most of them away.
Okay.
Which I feel like is fucked up. But at a certain point, I was like, well, I'm not, like, I thought that my parents should keep them, and they didn't keep them. They were like, here, have your journals. And I was like, well, what do I want with these?
Yeah.
So I gave one to my best friend who has them, who has that, and then the rest are. But I can tell you that they, like, in one of them, I, just wrote out the entire plot of the movie Twister. There's like a lot of talk about boys and TV and my friends at the time. And yeah, I think like a little bit about my family.
Yeah.
Pretty standard.
Okay.
I would say.
Mine would have been all Soundgarden.
They would have been what?
All Soundgarden.
Oh, yeah. Wait, was Soundgarden a supergroup?
No, no. Chris Cornell became part of a terrible super.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Okay, so moving from the past to the future.
Yes.
What do you want your intellectual and artistic practice to look like in 20 years? things? Is it writing the plot twist? Is it writing about this incredible apparition?
I would like to have, I mean, this is crazy, right? This would require a lot of leisure. But I would love to have a practice where I could write academically. Maybe I can write also poetry or just some other kind of like essayistic format. I don't know. I mean, I was telling Ryan earlier today, but I just feel like I don't know how, like I became a bad writer over the course of writing my dissertation. And I think that that is just like, you know, I think that my dissertation is like a record of my struggle with ideas more than it is anything else. And like actually writing about things in a coherent way. And also like making my ideas, like verbalizing them. But I would like to get to a place where I felt like I was a good writer again. You know? Yeah. Like I could think, you know, in a way that didn't require such struggle.
Yeah, I do feel like the dissertation breaks one down.
Yeah.
It's like someone trying to like teach you how to walk in a different way.
Right. Yes, mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. It makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I lost.
Yeah.
The battle.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully this will be a category that does not apply to the dissertation. What is leisure?
Okay. I kind of have like a prefab answer for this.
Great.
But I think it's full communism. I mean, I think...
Period.
Yeah, period. Like, period. Yeah. But, yeah, if we... I think that, like, if our work can be valued for, like, the... or if our labor can be valued for the value it produces, whatever, then, like, we all definitely need to work less. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can have a lot of truly free time.
Hey, Lola. Yeah, he's on Twitter. He's like still a blogger, I think, on like the Real Movement. Damn Jehu.
Oh,
like, is communism is free time and nothing else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is like really.
That's right. I'm getting this from our conversation the last time we hung out, I think.
It's so helpful.
I think that it's true. Yeah. I think it's true. Yeah.
What is waste?
Okay, when you guys asked Ryan this question, I was going to say wealth, but that's not true. That's not true.
Why is that? Why isn't wealth waste?
Well, because it comes from somewhere, you know? Because it's taken. It's stolen. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I have less compunction about my personal waste because I think just constantly about how mine is a drop in the bucket, you know? And also because I feel like so much of our consumption is like coerced that I just don't feel responsible for it in many ways, which is not to say, you know, like, even now, I, like, have ambivalence about recycling because, as, you know, Ryan was pointing out, like, you know, it just ends up on the streets of Indonesia, like, quite literally. That's, like, where our recycling goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what does some person in Indonesia want with that plastic bottle?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wish I had a better answer.
No, I think that's great. I mean, I think that's, I think that's like a very, like, radical and upsetting thought for some people, that it's not about personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And to think about the forces that make us feel like
the other answer that I have, though, is those fucking Blue Angels today.
my God.
You know?
Oh, that's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
Those fucking Blue Angels, every fucking F-14, the military is waste, you know? The whole military is waste. All the police are waste.
Yes.
What else? Mm-hmm. All that shit. That's all waste. That's a shit ton. We just eliminate that. We, like, are way back. We're way closer to carbon neutral.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's waste. So two answers. Yeah.
That's great.
I'm just imagining, like, a few of the Proud the Marines ad where they're just turds.
Right. Right.
With, like, a hat on.
Right. Yeah. Just find another fucking job, man. And then, oh, do we have to make more jobs? Oh, do we have to, like, you know, figure out how to use wind and sun? Like, fine. I don't know. Anyway, I know that's, like, a very... All that's more complicated than I'm making it sound, but still.
What fits into the category of waste?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The military is waste and the police are waste.
Yeah. What do you think of machines?
I feel totally medium about machines.
All machines?
I don't know. I mean, like, okay, I tell myself stories about how machines work the same way I tell myself stories about how my body works. Which is just like, this seems right. I don't fucking know. Yeah, I am much more afraid of the people who use machines than I am of machines.
Mm.
I don't know. I do. I mean, I just feel like they're not neutral. They're not neutral because they're made by people. But, yeah, I hate, okay, so, like, the, like, technophobia of Black Mirror, I just, like, don't have time. I don't care. I think it's very boring. But I also, like, cannot stand people who think that we have machines who are going to, you know, suck carbon out of the atmosphere or, like, whatever mm-hmm. else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So somewhere in there is where I am about mm-hmm. machines.
Okay, so we are two questions away.
Okay.
And I think we'll end the same way. What have you been listening to?
I mean, you guys already know, so we've talked about this, but since the pandemic, I've, like, returned to my Jason Molina time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said this to my friend, too, I just feel like, you know, 10 years in the world and then also just, like, as a person have, like, made such a difference in how I can listen to him. I mean, it's still the worst, but I don't think about, like, relating to him in the same way that I fantasized when I was 20.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or 25, I guess. 27 even. I don't know. So him, I mean... I also just, like, consume podcasts voraciously. Blood Orange.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Fleetwood Mac, always. Do you guys think that Fleetwood Mac are good? Like, on top of being technically very good?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, no.
Well, because I haven't actually listened to Fleetwood Mac. That's the problem. Is that like I've heard all the hits, but I've never really sat down and listened to, like, a Fleetwood Mac album.
You need to listen to Tusk from beginning to end.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I haven't done.
Yes.
It. Yeah. So, you know, I have, like, thoughts about thoughts people have about Fleetwood Mac,
sure.
But I don't actually have a close read.
Yeah, I just want to hear that.
Right. That's, like, a good book. I would read that book.
thoughts about
Fleetwood Mac. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my parents had that in their record. One where they look fancy on the
rumors.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, I learned my favorite Prince song recently, which is called what's it called? I think it's just called It's Gonna Be Lonely. Which I don't even know what the record is called, but it's the one where it's just him on a blue background. And that song is fucking incredible. That's what I got.
Amazing.
All right, Jay.
Oh, cool. The question we made some room for adjustments for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from Bernadette Mayer's list of journal ideas and writing experiments. But the question is, what is the poem of the future? But you can obviously...
Whatever the poem
yeah,
right,
is,
yeah.
Can be expansive.
It's also an easy out, but I'm just going to say whatever can create solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like that's really what we need.
Yeah. I mean, it may seem like an easy answer, but it's rare how often people say it. Like, when Raquel Salas Rivera said it in an interview, and that's the first time I'd heard it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, they're good company.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. I don't know. Yeah. That's what we need.
Succinct.
Nice.
Done.
Is there anything you want to say that we
yeah.
really left out, or that you want to tell the world?
I took acid, or not acid, mushrooms a couple weeks ago.
How was that?
It was really good.
Okay, yeah.
They encourage people to do that if they feel so inclined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's a great point.